This episode is brought to you by Prep Starts Now, because life doesn't come with a warning. When an emergency strikes, whether it's a power outage, natural disaster, or even a medical scare, the last thing you want is panic. Prep Start Now empowers families to be ready with the right tools, knowledge, and confidence. They're about smart planning so you can focus on protecting your family instead of scrambling for solutions. Their shop has everything from first aid kits and water filtration to backup power and essential gear. Plus, their Prep Academy makes it easy to learn emergency skills with simple guides and quick tips anyone can follow. I've arranged an exclusive 15% discount for my listeners. Just go to prepstartsnow.com and use promo code ZEROSIGNAL at checkout, or click the link in my show notes where the discount is applied automatically. Don't wait for the next crisis. Take action today. That's prepstartsnow.com. Promo code zero signal. It starts in late 2016. Havana, Cuba. A piercing tone, pressure behind the eyes, vertigo, nausea. For some, the symptoms fade. For others, they calcify into daily life. Headaches, brain fog, balance problems that make a staircase feel like a rolling deck. The reports don't stay in Havana. They appear in China, Europe, even here in the United States. Washington gives it a sterile label, anonymous health incidents. But a clean name doesn't dull the edges. Tonight, we let the record speak. Congress on the stakes. The Havana sound that launched the controversy. And sworn testimony on how a directed exposure might affect the human brain. Plus the on-record claim that cases happened inside the U.S. Then we separate the signal from the noise and ask for the only thing that ends controversy, data. I'm David Green. This is Zero Signal Conspiracy Shorts.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Law Enforcement, and Intelligence. We're holding this important hearing to examine anomalous health incidents, otherwise known as AHIs or Havana Syndrome, and discuss the potential targeting of U.S. government officials and their families in the homeland and elsewhere. Although this issue has recently gained significant media attention, the issues surrounding anomalous health incidents or Havana Syndrome are not new. Dating back to 2014, a number of U.S. diplomatic, military, and intelligence officials and their families have reported major medical symptoms that have affected their auditory and sensory motor skills. To the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, began experiencing similar symptoms. After the reported incidents in Havana, government officials and their families began reporting similar symptoms in the People's Republic of China, Vietnam, Germany, Austria, Serbia, Australia, Taiwan, Colombia, as well as here in the United States. Multiple agencies within the intelligence community have conducted assessments in an attempt to identify the factors that cause AHIs or who, if anyone, is responsible for these incidents. Unfortunately, none of these studies could conclusively identify the causes of these incidents. However, the State Department commissioned a study through the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine that found, and I quote, "Unusual presentation of acute, directional, or location-specific early phase signs, symptoms, and observations reported by Department of State employees to be consistent with the effects of directed pulsed radio frequency energy. Many of the chronic, non-specific symptoms are also consistent with known radio frequency effects, such as dizziness, headache, fatigue, nausea, anxiety, cognitive deficits, and memory loss." Since the National Academy's findings, generally, the IC, the intelligence community, has stood by their initial findings and maintains that the origins of these symptoms are still unknown and not likely to be derived from the actions of a foreign adversary. Today, we hope to gain a better understanding of anomalous health incidents to address this pressing issue. And it's paramount that we acknowledge the gravity of this situation.
What you just heard there is the government putting the stakes on the record, not a panel show, not a rumor. The chairs lays out a pattern reaching back to 2014, breaking into public view in 2016 at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, spreading across China, Vietnam, Germany, Austria, Serbia, Australia, Taiwan, Colombia, and even here in the United States. The symptom profile repeats: sudden, directional, auditory pressure events, dizziness, nausea, then lingering cognitive and vestibular fallout. Crucially, he cites the National Academic Review Commission by state, early phase, location-specific symptoms, ultimately consistent with the effects of directed pulse radio frequency energy. That's not a verdict. It's a mechanism, flagged as plausible for some cases. Science speak, plausible means worth real investigation. In the same breath, you heard the intelligence community's position across the broad pattern. A coordinated behavior campaign is unlikely. Those two ideals cannot coexist. One asks how a subset might happen. The other asks, who did it at scale? Different questions and ultimately different answers. So we anchor to what's solid, clusters among trained people, an international footprint centered on diplomatic and security hubs, and a deep tradition of classifying anything that touches sensors or sources. Now let's move from the abstract to the visceral, what people said they actually heard. Forney, the next clip is sharp. Pulse is the sound that turned a weird embassy story into an international debate. For many, it matched what they heard seconds before symptoms hit. But discipline matters. Audio alone is not proof of a weapon. In at least one widely shared recording, the spectrum and pulse matched a local cricket. That doesn't erase injuries. It warns us not to treat consumer audio as a smoking gun. So we separate experience from mechanism. The experience is clear: a directional sensation, pressure, tone, or both, followed by this vestibular chaos and cognitive fog. Mechanisms on the table. Audible, sonic weapon. A poor candidate. Airborne sound in the audible range dissipates fast, reflects unpredictably, and isn't easy to instrument. Next is ultrasound. Possibly a short range, it doesn't travel through walls cleanly, and it creates hotspots that they survey can usually map out. Next is directed pulse RF. Uncomfortable, but plausible for a subset. At certain pulse characteristics, RF can trigger the Frey effect, perceive clicks and tones inside the head, disturb vestibular function, and produce concussion-like symptoms without shrapnel or scorch marks. Skeptics counter with misattribution under stress, unfamiliar acoustics, anxiety, messy workups, clusters without a hidden emitter. Fair, but the Cold War Moscow signal, low-level microwaves aimed at the U.S. Embassy for years, keeps the RF door open conceptually, even if motives there remain debated. Rather than arguing abstractions, your next clip goes straight to the how, and then lands the claim that cases incurred inside the United States, clustered around our most sensitive communities.
Mr. Grosso, maybe give us an idea of how this could happen in the United States. Talk us through a scenario that you've investigated, that technology and location, things that we can put it into context and understand in layman's terms.
In terms of technology, I'm not an expert in the technology behind this, but I've read enough and I'm sufficiently technically minded to understand that there's more than one way to achieve this same effect on the human brain. And one of the most disturbing denials that I've seen in some of the publications leading up to our findings being published was an attempt to create the impression that no technology would allow this impact on the human brain. That is provably untrue. There have been experiments that prove that both acoustic and waves, directed waves in the ultrasound, primarily the ultrasound band, but also electromagnetic directed energy, especially pulsed nanosecond energy beams in the millimeter band through something called the Frey effect, which converts electromagnetic energy into an acoustic band wave that can be within or without or outside of the audible band, can have the same effect on the human brain, which can have long-term concussion-like symptoms, but in really traumatic degree of concussion. So that is a given, and I don't think today we have the expertise to talk about that, but there's sufficient evidence that is possible. We also know that the Russian intelligence apparatus has worked on that, and something I would like to mention as well is that after our publication, a former member of Russia's intelligence community reached out to me and said, this is what we've been working on since the 80s, because we thought that the Americans were doing that to us, and we wanted to develop a counter technology for the same thing. Of course, we're doing that, which is interesting because Russian intelligence officers believe they're doing this, and American intelligence officers saying they're not doing this.
Did this individual, this Russian agent, remain anonymous?
Unfortunately, for their own safety, I'll have to leave them anonymous. But it's a person with, in my view, sufficient knowledge of exactly the intents, the red lines that this entity would be exposed to. We know that members of this unit have engaged with scientists who have worked on a project called reversal of epilepsy symptoms through radio waves, which for anybody known how Russia intelligence formulates their findings for the public-facing domain, I should read them as the exact opposite, creating, reversing essentially the polarity might leave with the exact opposite effect, creating epilepsy symptoms, and so on and so forth. This interest is long-running for the GRU, for Russia's military intelligence. One last thing I will mention is that we found that the only other place, other than among the cohort of American and Canadian intelligence and law enforcement officers who have been affected by this, that we've seen very similar symptoms, was in a Russian school in 2017. And we found the evidence to this similarity in a hacked email box of a military researcher from the St. Petersburg Institute for Experimental Medicine working for the GRU. This institute showed uncanny interest in exactly what happened in that school, where 26 children complained of exactly the symptoms that we've received in this investigation from American.
Mr. Syed, is it your belief that these attacks have happened inside the United States? And if so, can you give us some of the locations and details that you can share with us?
Yes, without a doubt, they have happened here in the United States. As I mentioned in my opening testimony, we know of quite a number, and I would say perhaps the majority of them were in the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area. There are also a number, particularly of FBI personnel down in Florida. But there is no doubt there have been quite a number of cases here, particularly relating to the CIA. CIA and FBI most predominantly, also State Department.
You just heard two halves of the same uncomfortable picture. First, mechanism. More than one way to achieve similar human effects, ultrasound, and especially electromagnetic exposures with pulsed nanosecond scale energy in millimeter bands. The Frey effect explains how EM energy can be perceived as sound inside the head, even outside the audible band, and how such an exposure might produce a concussion-like syndrome with no blunt trauma. That doesn't prove it happened. It proves it could. Second, attribution-flavored leads. A source from the Russian intelligence alleging work on this since the 1980s, initially as the counter to what they feared the U.S. was doing. And in 2017, school events where 26 children reportedly showed Havana-style symptoms with a St. Petersburg Institute showing unusual interest. Details that allegedly surfaced in a hacked research inbox. These are specific leads, not verdicts. The right posture is curiosity plus documentation. Finally, the part that brings all this home. Domestic cases cluster around Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and Florida, with many among CIA and FBI personnel and family members. If accurate, this isn't just a foreign post mystery. It's a homeland security problem. Now, let's synthesize this like adults. Capability is plausible. The physics in public. The Cold War president exists. And the national academies flagged directed pulsed RF as the most plausible mechanism for some early cases. Next, attribution. Suggested, not proven. A prime suspect isn't a conclusion. Diagnostics. Major NIH effort reported no consistent MRI detectable brain injury or single biomarker separating patients from controls, even while many report debilitating symptoms. If an exposure occurred, the footprint may be functional or transient, not a neat, lasting lesion. Now, here's what settles it. Declassified, sanitized case files. Release timestamp sensor data in any work publication. Publish negative results. And fund controlled ethical research that can confirm or kill the RF pathway with modern tools. Right now, the public's stuck in contradiction. It's serious, but we can't show you why. It's not a foreign campaign, but we can't show you how we know that. That's not sustainable. If this is not a weapon story, prove it with data. Either way, show your work. Ultimately, Havana syndrome sets with real-world suffering meets ambiguous evidence. The recordings that made it famous may be a cricket. Policy trail, hearings, compensation, major studies says it's nothing at all. At least nothing to worry about. Maybe some subset were targeted by technology designed to leave no scars. Maybe many weren't. The honest answer is uncomfortable. We don't fully know yet. The remedy is simple. Declassify, publish, replicate, and treat the people affected with dignity of real care while you figure it out. If you ask me my thoughts on this, I think we are fighting wars in shadows. Some may love, others despise it, regardless of what circumstances are playing out in the Ukrainian battlefield. But we as America have been at war with Russia in a code sense for a very long time. It's not outside the realm of possibility that they are targeting people with weapons. More importantly, to stop the bridge building that we mean just a few years ago between the United States and Cuba. The obviously one is out there. That's where they put the missiles when we were going through the Cold War. So for me, I think this is a Cold War symptom. Russia is trying to influence our policy, and we are allowing it to happen. However, that's all I have for today. Maybe we'll take another deep dive in the future, where I'll discuss this with my brother Jay on our long-form content. Until then, this is Zero Signal Conspiracy Shorts. Our long-form deep dives drop every Tuesday at 6 a.m. I'm David Green. Subscribe, share this with someone who thinks the case is closed. Until next time, question everything.